Right now, the most advanced AI models in the world share this really kind of embarrassing flaw.
Yeah, it's something the industry really doesn't like to highlight.
Right. And it's that they use the exact same amount of, computational brain power to calculate 1 + 1 as they do to like solve complex quantum physics.
Which is completely wild when you actually think about it.
It is. It's like there are these hyper advanced race cars, right? But they're permanently stuck driving 200 miles per hour just to like back out of a suburban driveway.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. It's a massive hidden inefficiency.
And it really limits everything we're trying to build right now. So for you listening, that is our mission for today's deep dive. We're looking at a really fascinating technical document today.
Titled Singularity CPU.MD.
Yes, exactly. And it outlines this radical new paradigm meant to just completely shatter that rigidity. It proposes something called let me check the phrasing, a lossy universal signal generator.
Right. And the ambition here is, honestly, it's nothing short of making AI 10 to 1,000 times faster.
1,000 times.
Yeah. And the key to that exponential leap, well, it's a complete shift toward the technical architecture of adaptive computation.
Adaptive computation. Okay. So to get a thousandfold speed up, we have to, what, completely abandon how computers currently think?
Basically, yes. We have to move away from models that demand absolute certainty and perfect recall. We have to embrace a highly mathematical, tightly controlled kind of information destruction.
Information destruction. I love that. But before we get into the mechanics of that destruction, we kind of need to diagnose the illness.
Oh, for sure. You have to understand the bottleneck first.
Right. Because if we want to understand how adaptive computation actually optimizes computational speed, we first have to understand why current models are so, hopelessly gridlocked. Why build a system that can't tell the difference between simple addition and like string theory?
Well, the gridlock is a direct result of this foundational design principle. It's called unitarity.
Unitarity.
Right. And this is the absolute bedrock upon which current transformer architectures are built. Unitarity demands perfect information preservation across every single operation.
Okay, and the math for that in the document is H final equals H initial, right?
Exactly. H sub final equals H sub initial. So,
Yeah.
meaning the entropy or the total volume of information state at the end of a step.
Has to perfectly match what you started with.
Yes. Nothing is allowed to be lost, ever.
Wow. Okay, so if nothing is ever lost, the system basically functions like a massive rigid database.
Exactly like a deterministic database. All the
Yeah.
parameters, all the learned weights, all the billions of possibilities, they are perfectly preserved at all time.
And theoretically, if you have a perfect database like that, querying it should be really fast, right? Like an O of one operation.
Theoretically, yes. An O of one operation means it takes a single constant time step to retrieve an answer. It sounds hyper efficient on paper.
But, and I'm guessing there's a big but here.
A huge but. The reality of running that query is vastly different. Because to maintain and access that perfect massive database, you have to fire up the entire neural network.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, you have to shuttle every single parameter through the memory bandwidth just to generate a single word. So that fast O of one lookup,
It's an illusion.
total illusion, it demands maximum compute every single time.
So, like, fast, simple queries are literally forced to wait in line behind the entire systemic architecture.
Right. Your race car is redlining at 200 miles per hour because, well, the engine literally doesn't have a throttle.
Right. Unitarity guarantees perfect recall, but the cost is this like total systemic paralysis when it comes to scaling efficiency.
Exactly. The compute resources just do not scale to the difficulty of the task. That's the core flaw.
So, okay, if preserving and processing every piece of information perfectly is the actual bottleneck,
Which it is.
right, then the solution to making AI faster isn't building a bigger engine. The solution is teaching the system how to, like, intentionally throw information away.
And that right there brings us to the core architectural shift detailed in the source material.
From unitarity to lossy compression.
Yes. And to accomplish this, the Singularity CPU framework introduces a completely new dual component system. We have the generator and we have the verifier.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because if we're tossing out perfect recall, the system obviously needs a new way to formulate an answer, right?
Right, it needs a way to originate ideas before it can test them.
So let's look at the generator first. What is it actually doing?
So the generator's sole function is to take an initial seed, which the math represents with the Greek letter phi, and create a signal vector.
which we call S with a little arrow over it, right?
Exactly, vector S. Now, the profound difference here is that this generation process is probabilistic. It's not deterministic.
Wait, so it's not looking up a perfect answer in a static matrix anymore?
No, not at all. It is guessing.
Yeah.
It uses that seed, phi, to blossom into this massive, wide probability space of potential answers.
Oh, wow. So it's basically casting a massive net into the dark.
It is. But, as you can imagine, a system that just guesses wildly isn't going to be very useful on its own.
Right, right. Because a lot of those guesses are going to be absolute garbage.
Exactly. And yeah. That is where the verifier has to step in to clean up the mess. It enforces reality.
Okay, so how does the verifier do that?
The verifier tests that generated signal against a target state. It calculates what the architecture calls a fitness score, or loss.
And loss is denoted by a capital L in the doc.
Yes. Then, the system applies a strict cutoff threshold, theta.
So it's essentially grading the guesses.
Exactly. If the loss of a specific generated signal is too high, meaning the guess strays too far from the target, that signal is killed.
Killed, like entirely.
Yes, permanently discarded, deleted.
Okay, so it really sounds like we're moving from a meticulous librarian who has memorized every single book perfectly.
That's the unitarity model, yeah.
Right. We're moving from that to a kind of like evolutionary thunderdome.
I like that.
Yeah, like thousands of ideas are spontaneously generated, thrown into the arena, and only the absolute fittest survive the verifier's tests.
That is a perfect analogy. And the mathematical formulation of that thunderdome represents the absolute core of lossy compression.
Because the entropy goes down.
Right. Because the verifier is actively destroying bad signals, the equation flips. We move from H final equals H initial to H final is strictly less than H initial.
So the system is intentionally reducing the information state.
Yes. The AI's kernel is no longer a static database of all possible states. It becomes this active generator of possibilities that ruthlessly selects and trims.
Okay, the evolutionary thunderdome makes conceptual sense. But let's tie this back to this speed issue, because that's the whole goal here.
Right, the adaptive computation aspect.
Because generating thousands of possibilities and then running all these tests to kill them off, honestly, that sounds like it would require more work, not less.
It does sound counterintuitive at first.
Right, how does this architecture actually optimize computational speed and solve our driveway parallel parking problem?
Okay, the speed optimization is driven by how this generation and verification process is modeled over time.
Okay.
The document introduces the integration of continuous computation theory, or CCT, with an ordinary differential equation, an ODE.
Continuous computation theory. So instead of the AI processing in rigid, discrete digital steps like a ticking clock, we're modeling the signal's evolution as a fluid, continuous process.
Exactly. And ODE measures how things change continuously over time based on specific variables.
All right, like in physics.
Yes. Here, the ODE mathematically models the trajectory of the AI's guess as it navigates toward a solution.
Ah, the trajectory.
Right. Rather than disjointed, massive jumps from one state to another, the signal smoothly traverses a probability space.
And because it's continuous, I'm guessing the verifier can peek at it early.
You nailed it. This allows the verifier to measure the signal's trajectory, its momentum toward a low-loss state, before the generation is even fully complete.
Oh, wow. So by measuring the trajectory continuously, the system can spot a losing signal early. Doesn't have to wait for the whole massive calculation to finish before pulling the plug.
Exactly. And the architecture weaponizes this continuous monitoring through what it calls a multi-stage verification pipeline.
Okay, the pipeline. This seems super important.
This pipeline is the actual engine of adaptive computation. Let me break it down. Imagine you give the AI a prompt.
Okay.
The generator spins up its massive pool of potential answers. In stage one of the pipeline, the verifier applies a relatively loose loss threshold. The document uses 0.8 as an example.
So at a threshold of 0.8, about 80% of the generated signals survive.
Right. The system is just doing a quick preliminary sweep, wiping out the absolute worst guesses immediately.
Okay, so the truly wild hallucinations are dead. Then what?
Then the continuous process pushes the surviving signals into stage two. Here, the threshold tightens aggressively to 0.3.
Oh, so the selective pressure really ramps up.
It does. Only 30% of the signals make it through that stage. And finally, in stage three, the threshold drops to a brutal 0.05.
Wow. 0.05. So only the top 5% survive.
Exactly. The absolute most highly optimized valid signals survive that final cut.
Okay, I see the architecture. But where is the speed up? Because if it has to go through all three stages, isn't it still doing a ton of work?
Ah, but that's the beauty of it. It doesn't always have to go through all three stages.
Oh, right, the parallel parking aspect. That true speed optimization must happen in those early stages.
Exactly. Think about it. If you ask the AI a profoundly simple question like, what is 1 plus 1?
The OD trajectory of those generated signals is going to look incredibly stable right out of the gate.
Because the initial guess for a simple question is already highly accurate, the loss calculation in stage one is virtually zero.
So it knows it's right immediately.
Yes. The system mathematically recognizes that the uncertainty is already resolved. And here is the mechanism for the 10 to 1,000-fold speedup it exits the pipeline.
Wait, really? It just stops.
Which just stops. It doesn't bother running stage two or stage three. It just hands you the answer and powers down.
That's incredible. So the simple query takes minimal compute, while a complex, quantum physics query keeps getting pushed deeper and deeper down the pipeline until its high uncertainty is finally whittled away.
Exactly. The system dynamically scales its computational effort to match the exact difficulty of the task. That is adaptive computation in a nutshell.
The AI finally has a throttle.
It does. It stabilizes with a compressed representation of valid realities, conserving massive amounts of energy on simple tasks, leaving the full computational weight available only when
Okay,
required.
hold on though, because I need to push back on this a bit.
Sure.
Because the implications of this pipeline are, frankly, slightly alarming to me.
In what way?
Well, if we are setting up an architecture that intentionally murders up to 95% of its own generated data, we are fundamentally talking about a highly lossy system.
Yes, lossy compression.
Right, but in audio or video formats, lossy compression means artifacts. It means degrading the original truth to save space, right?
That's true.
So if an AI is discarding that much of its operational state, aren't we basically guaranteeing it will hallucinate? Like, how are we not just building a highly efficient lying machine?
That is such a fair question. It's the central friction of moving away from unitarity, and it is a crucial concern in the field right now.
Because deleting data seems dangerous.
It does, but that assumes the truth is a singular, fragile data point that can be accidentally deleted. The text actually explicitly redefines what a signal is.
Okay, how so?
It defines the signal as a low-dimensional manifold embedded in a high-dimensional space.
Low-dimensional manifold. Okay, let's make that tangible for the listener. Because if we are going to trust an AI that deletes most of its own thoughts, we really need to understand how it reliably finds the truth.
Okay, let's use a dartboard analogy.
I love dartboards. Let's do it.
Think of the truth not as a single tiny bullseye on a dartboard, but rather as the underlying physical laws of the room you're throwing darts in.
Okay, so like the gravity, the air resistance,
Yeah.
the distance to the boar.
Yes. Now, the generator throws a million darts simultaneously. The verifier looks at the continuous trajectories of all those darts.
BODE math.
Right, it deletes the ones flying backward or hitting the ceiling or dropping to the floor. By analyzing the darts that cluster together and survive, the system maps out the exact shape of reality.
Oh, so we aren't throwing away the truth, we are throwing away the noise.
Exactly. The system minimizes the expected loss, which is the mathematical distance between the generated signal and the target, while maintaining a diverse spread of surviving signals.
Okay, that makes so much sense. So the 5% that survive stage three aren't just like one lucky guess.
No, they are an ensemble. They are a highly optimized representation that perfectly outlines the shape of the correct answer. The truth is structurally preserved, just highly compressed.
That's fascinating.
And it gets better. The architecture includes a feedback loop. As the system verifies and selects, it updates the kernel's underlying weights toward those surviving manifolds.
So it learns from the Thunderdome.
Yes. Over time, the generator becomes increasingly sophisticated at producing high-fitness signals directly from the seed. The darts become more accurate before they even leave the hand.
Wow. Okay, so we have spent this deep dive exploring how adaptive computation works within our current physical reality, right? With finite memory bandwidths, physical chips, and limited clock speeds.
Right, practical applications.
But what makes Singularity CPU.MD so compelling is that it doesn't stop there. It pushes the architecture to its absolute mathematical limit.
Yes, the Singularity CPU concept.
Right. So to grasp the Singularity CPU, the document looks at the trade-off between clock frequency and compression depth, right?
Correct. In the old unitarity model, increasing clock speed just meant you could search your rigid static database a tiny fraction of a second faster.
The underlying paradigm didn't change at all.
Right. But in a lossy generator model, clock speed dictates the ferocity of the Thunderdome.
Oh, because it determines how many verification rounds you can run?
Exactly. The source material maps this out clearly in a table. If you have a relatively slow clock speed, the physical time limits your system to maybe one verification round.
Which gives you a 10-to-1 compression ratio. The system works, but only simple signals survive the single pass.
Right. But if you drastically increase the hardware's clock speed, the ODE has time to process 10 verification rounds in that exact same time window.
And your compression ratio rockets up.
Yes, to 10 billion to 1. The system can isolate incredibly complex, deeply hidden truths because it can run so many survival iterations instantly.
Which brings us to the theoretical horizon. What happens when we push the math to infinity?
This is where it gets a little mind-bending.
Yeah, if clock speed is the limiting factor for verification depth, what occurs as the clock frequency approaches infinity?
Well, as subclock approaches infinity, the system achieves infinite verification depth. The mathematical limit dictates that the singularity loss function approaches absolute zero.
Zero loss.
Yeah.
Meaning absolute guaranteed perfection for every single generated signal.
Yes. The multi-stage verification pipeline, the stages, the thresholds, the continuous monitoring, all of it compresses into a single point in time.
It happens instantly.
Exactly. The time delta between the generation of a probability and the verification of its truth becomes zero. The generation step and the verification step merge entirely.
And the document expresses this with the equation G of phi equals phi, right?
Yes. The generation of the seed is the seed.
That is just wow.
The kernel transforms. It ceases to be just a generator testing probabilities. It becomes a universal function approximator.
Because it verifies infinitely fast.
Right. So it instantaneously generates only mathematically valid, perfectly verified signals. The singularity condition describes an AI that does not need to store anything.
It doesn't possess a database at all.
None. It simply regenerates the fabric of a valid reality flawlessly and instantaneously from any given input.
That is a staggering architectural destination.
It really is.
So the ultimate computer isn't a machine that has stubbornly memorized the entire universe on a massive hard drive. The ultimate computer is a perfectly tuned generator that understands the underlying physical laws so deeply that it just hallucinates the correct reality on demand without a single error.
The shift from perfect recall to perfect generation is the defining characteristic of this new frontier. It requires us to abandon our comfort with static databases and completely trust the mathematics of continuous adaptive selection.
So for you, taking all this in, the takeaway is actually profoundly practical.
Definitely.
The future of AI efficiency isn't about brute force. It isn't about building massive server farms that try to process every piece of data at maximum power.
No, it's about systems that dynamically adapt to the user.
Exactly. An AI that glances at a simple math problem instantly verifies its low-loss trajectory and gives you the answer without waking up the rest of the network. It's the 200-mile-per-hour engine finally getting a throttle.
The engineering elegance is really undeniable. The adaptive compute model ensures that raw power is conserved and deployed only when the manifold of truth is deeply hidden.
Right.
But, you know, this entire paradigm raises a deeply philosophical question, one that the source text subtly provokes in its final assertions.
Oh, right. The text states that under this ultimate mathematical limit, the universe itself is not a stored database.
Right. It asserts that the universe is not stored, it is regenerated from a compressed seed.
Which is a huge statement.
It is, because if the absolute pinnacle of an infinitely fast intelligence operates not by retrieving static data, but by regenerating valid realities on the fly, well, we have to turn that lens back on ourselves.
How so?
Well, we consider human memory to be a biological database. We believe we are pulling up a file.
But biological systems are defined by their energy efficiency. They are the ultimate adaptive computers.
Exactly. So when you recall the face of a childhood friend or the layout of your childhood home, are you really accessing a static, perfectly preserved unitarity matrix in your brain?
Probably not.
Right. Or is your consciousness a lossy generator? When you remember, it is entirely possible your brain is taking a compressed seed, instantly generating a massive probability space, and ruthlessly verifying it against your physical senses and past compressions in milliseconds.
Oh, wow. So you might not be remembering at all. You might just be highly efficient at rapidly hallucinating the past.
Exactly. We are constantly regenerating our own realities, verifying them just fast enough to believe they were there all along.
That framing fundamentally changes how you view both the machines we are building and, frankly, the mind you're using to understand them.
It's a lot to chew on.
It really is. Well, thank you for joining us on this deep dive into adaptive computation and the lossy singularity framework. We hope it gave you the tools to see the hidden inefficiencies in the systems around you and the incredible architectures waiting to replace them. Keep questioning the structure of the information you consume.